It's not like any other podcast. Coming to you straight from the heartland, where investing is told like it is. It's time for Darren Garman's Paranoid Banker Podcast. Hold on, because here comes the next episode of the Paranoid Banker Podcast.
Hey everybody, Darren Garman here, and welcome to today's podcast. This is the time of year where we talk predictions, right? So you probably have seen quite a few predictions already in a whole bunch of different areas or media out there. What's 2019 going to hold for this or for that, or what you can expect here in 2019, what you can expect there. And if you've not seen many predictions, you will be seeing quite a few of them over the coming weeks. That's just the way it is this time of year. And look, I don't want to disappoint. I'm going to be giving my my predictions too, but I'm going to be breaking it up really into two different areas. So area one is going to be what I think you're going to be seeing over the coming year. So this is going to be just kind of my general, give you a general idea financially, especially investment wise, and we're going to drill down to a couple of real estate things that I think you're going to be wanting to be paying attention to in 2019. Then we're going to later, not on this podcast, but on a future podcast, break it down quarterly. So I think what far too many people do, or far too many businesses, or even those folks that are hired to kind of look into the future, I think what they do is they'll get locked on what's going to happen over a year, and then they don't really make any changes while the year's going on. So we're going to be going down the path of looking at things quarterly. And so we're going to start with my year's predictions and what you can see. We're going to cover that today. And then in a future podcast, I'm going to talk to you about what you can really expect over the first quarter. And then once we get close to the second quarter, or maybe even into the second quarter a little bit, we'll hit that, and we'll go on and on from there during the year and kind of base a lot of those things on what we've seen over the last quarter and what it looks like maybe happening over the coming quarter. But so that's what you can expect. But for now, we're going to be talking about my four or five main predictions that you're going to be seeing over 2019. And let's go ahead and let's get started with the conventional markets, specifically the stock market, but it also relates to other conventional markets that you're going to be seeing in the news. And as we're having this podcast, as I'm recording it, there's been a lot of recent roller coaster rides. Some really steep ones with the conventional markets, specifically the stock market, as 2018 ended and as we got into 2019. A lot of the gains that many people had in their portfolios were pretty much erased within a week to 10 days. Some actually lost money over 2018. Some people made a little bit of money. But, you know, if you were to talk to these investors, and heck, maybe you're one of them, March or April of this year, they were feeling pretty good, and they were feeling even better June, July, and August of this year. And then all of a sudden, that money pretty much evaporated within 10 days. And it's not so much new to any of us that the conventional markets will have a whipsawing effect and whipsawing process. But as we've been talking about now for a couple of years, there's a lot more than financial things that impact this nowadays. There's social things, there's political things, whatever the political news of the day could be, whatever the social news of the day could be, whether positive or negative, it can affect markets. And the frustrating thing that we've talked about is your investment in conventional markets can be affected by something that has nothing to do with your investment. That's the frustrating thing. And so you're going to see 2019 being even worse, okay? And I'm not so much saying that the market's going to be worse or it's going to be a bad conventional market. It very well could be, but that's not necessarily what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if you've really been paying attention, 2017, you had a little bit of reactionary movement with the conventional markets, okay, towards economic news, social news, political news, what our president's doing, some of the decisions he's making, especially as it relates to trade, especially as it relates to our nation's debt and those kinds of things. Now, you saw some things moving a little bit, right? 2017, a little bit. 2018, more. 2019 is going to be even worse. So in other words, if you think the last 2 to 3 weeks have been an interesting roller coaster ride, 2019 is going to be one hell of a roller coaster ride for you in the conventional markets. That's just the way it's going to be. And you may as well accept that if you plan on being a big player or a long-term or even, hell, even a short-term player in the conventional markets. That's the way it's going to be. 2019 is going to be even worse in terms of gains and losses. And the interesting thing is, and I don't know if you know this, but the majority of trades and activity in the markets are done by robots. So robots and what their algorithms are telling them is what's affecting the trading activity and the market activity for the most part. So how's that for scary? You've got humans that are putting the information in these computers, for lack of a better way of describing it, and then allowing the computers to make up all sorts of models and algorithms and information to make decisions on how the market's going to do. And so you're going to see the conventional markets be even worse for a roller coaster ride. So if you're big into the conventional markets right now, whether it's retirement money, whether it's your regular money, whatever it is, pension fund, I don't know, but you better get ready, because 2019 is going to be even worse. And so I don't know if you stock up on more Tylenol, more Pepto-Bismol or antacids. I don't know what it is for you, whether you work out and meditate more. I don't know, but it's going to get even worse. The writing's on the wall for that. And it shouldn't be a surprise to you that that's going to be the case. So that's number one. Be ready for more market upswings, downswings. It's going to be a whipsaw year for the conventional markets. You may as well get used to it. And hopefully at the end of the day, you're going to make money. God, it would really suck to go through a year of just hell in terms of ups and downs in the market, and then you find out you didn't make any money. that wouldn't be any good. But and it could be the other way too. You could make a hell of a lot of money, but it's going to be the case. So be ready for it. So that's number one. Number two, in terms of investment real estate, specifically apartment properties, you're going to find demand heat up in a big, big way from investors. Okay, from investors. Now, we've talked a lot over the last year or two about the demand increasing for tenants, you know, wanting to rent apartments. And that's going to continue to be the case. But now this year, you're going to see more Wall Street money, more limited partnerships, more real estate investment trusts. You're going to be seeing more activity from investors wanting to get into the market and own apartments. And I'm going to tell you why I know this and why this is really coming to the surface. So most of our holdings are in Cedar Rapids, Eastern Iowa. I'd say within a 2 to 3 hour radius of Cedar Rapids, Iowa, which is East Central Iowa. And you know that there's going to be more demand from what I would say Wall Street securitized companies and larger limited partnerships when these guys are coming into Cedar Rapids looking for property to buy. Okay, I want you to think about that for a second. They're not going into Chicago, Minneapolis, St. Louis, Des Moines even. And don't get me wrong, they are. They're there. They're looking for product there, of course, for the larger cities. The Austin, Texases of the world, the Nashvilles of the world. They're going there, and they're looking for product. But now, they're really directing more of their time, effort, energy, and resources to what they call tertiary markets, which is like the Cedar Rapids, Iowa markets of the world, the Sioux Falls, South Dakotas of the world. You're going to be seeing a lot more activity in these markets. Why? Because these companies want to be in the real estate ownership business. So we've been talking about this now for a couple of years, where you're going to be seeing more and more demand from these kinds of companies wanting to own what my partners and I have, and what some of my other investors have. They're going to be wanting to own more of this real estate. You know, for many of the reasons that we've talked about, you know, in past podcasts and emails, and we'll talk more about those, I'm sure, as the year goes on. But you're going to see a lot more activity there, a lot more Wall Street money, institutional money, pension money, looking even in smaller tertiary markets to own the real estate because of what real estate is going to do, specifically apartment properties and apartment communities. And if you've not seen this in your market, you will, especially if you're in more of a tertiary size market where you live. You know, many of you I know don't live in large cities, many of you do, but you are also in smaller markets. You're going to be seeing that happening as well. So keep your antennas up. It's going to be interesting, but you're going to see demand heat up there in a big, big way. All right. So that's trend number two that you're going to be seeing in 2019. My prediction for my second prediction for 2019. Number three, financing. So what do I mean by financing? You're going to be finding more and more institutional investors wanting to also be in the financing of apartment communities business, as well as the ownership of apartment communities. Okay? And so these companies are now starting to realize the demand for apartment communities, like we just talked about. Well, if you can't be in the ownership business, or if the ownership business doesn't give you enough enough product to place, enough investment to place, where else do you look? You also look at the financing part of it as well. So now, in other words, what this really drills down to is you're going to be seeing more and more activity from private institutional lenders wanting to lend money on apartment projects. So this is going to be good news if you're an apartment property investor. So if you're an investor looking to increase your holdings, increase your portfolio, continue to build your empire, this is going to be good news for you. You're going to have more opportunities to find financing because there's going to be more investors out there looking to want to finance. And another part of that is interest rates. So rates are continuing to go up. And so right now, if you wanted to buy a typical apartment community, as I'm recording this, you're going to have an interest rate in the 5 to 5.5% range. Okay, and I said 5 to 5.5% range. And now that's starting to get more respectable. That's starting to get into the area where institutional investors, other than banks and credit unions, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, want to play. They want to participate in that. So you're going to see a trend now where you're gonna have more and more companies, institutional investors that you probably have not known to be in the investment real estate lending business will now be in the investment real estate lending business. It'll be interesting. So keep an eye out for number three in terms of financing. Number four, let's talk about the next two things I want to talk about are a couple of real estate properties, a couple of real estate investments that I would recommend you really think about, you think twice about before you get involved in owning them, okay, in owning them. And the first is office buildings, okay, office buildings. Many of you have an opportunity or will even have, you've had opportunities in the past, and we'll have opportunities in the future, and maybe you, some of you own some of these properties now to own office buildings. The writing's on the wall here, folks. Companies are continuing to do everything they can to minimize their overhead and their expenses. And companies' biggest expense, for many companies, is office space, leasing space, making improvements to space, buying buildings, maintaining buildings, and all of the costs of construction to build out a space, maintain a space, and continue to operate a space for people to have a productive working environment is really, really going out of sight. And so you're going to see more and more emptier office buildings. And I'm talking everywhere. And there will, of course, always be pockets and places where there are office properties and office buildings just fully occupied, maybe with a waiting list here or there, with a lot of demand for the space. That is, I guess, I think accurately I could say, that is atypical and will be atypical. For the most part, if you're going to own your own office building, and it doesn't even have to be a big one, I mean, I'm talking 5,000-10,000 square feet on up, you're going to have trouble keeping it fully occupied. You will. And even if it's fully occupied now, if you have leases coming up in the next year or 2 years, good luck in finding a tenant to come back in there and pay even higher rent than what you're getting now. Because a lot of times people that own office buildings think, well, I'm getting $10 a square foot. When that tenant leaves in 2 years, I'm going to be able to get $12 a square foot. Guess what? Not necessarily the case. You may have to settle for $8 a square foot. We are seeing that a lot in the market right now. Okay, and so if you're considering owning your own office building, if you're considering investing in your own office building, you may want to really spend a lot of time thinking about that and doing a hell of a lot of analysis to make sure you understand what your big upside and your big downside is going to be. Because chances are, even if you own your own building, let's say you put your own business in there, you're still going to have problems keeping it occupied. And also on top of that comes the improvement costs, the build-out costs in order to attract a tenant. And at the end of the day, you could have a 5-year lease from a great tenant, but after all the money you've spent in fixing up the space to get them in there and going through that process, you may end up making hardly any money over a 5-year period. So office buildings are one of those kinds of investment, I think, in 2019 to really think twice about and make sure you understand all the economics of that investment before you get involved in it, because it looks like an investment that's going to continue, at least from what I can see in the near future, over the next year or 2 years, especially 2019, to be an investment to not be involved in unless you've got some really interesting circumstances that make that an investment to take advantage of, okay? And that leads me into number 5. I remember when shopping malls were the place to be. Do you remember that? Where shopping malls, if you were going to go somewhere, you were going to shop, you were going to do something. What do you want to do today? Oh, I don't know. Let's go to the mall. You remember those days? Those days are not gone, but those days are becoming fewer and fewer and fewer. And if you've been paying attention, especially if you have shopping malls in and around where you live, you can see an interest dynamic happening for the most part. You see more empty space. You see tenants now in the mall that you wouldn't ordinarily see. So instead of the Gap, now you've got Bill and Ted's t-shirt shop, right? Instead of Bed Bath & Beyond, you've got Sally's Handmade Soap and Crafts, okay? And look, nothing wrong with that. I'm not making fun of that at all. I'm just saying you can see things changing, can't you? And we know in the news some of the larger retailers have had trouble and are closing down. I mean, Sears is one, and Macy's is another that's had issues, and there's many, many others that are having their issues. I mean, there are many retailers that are doing great, but big picture is this. The American shopping mall is slowly starting to become less and less popular, less and less a destination for people, and less a place where retailers want to be. Now, am I saying that the entire shopping mall industry is in the tank? No. There are dozens of examples of shopping malls and shopping centers that are flourishing, that are doing great, that have a waiting list of tenants wanting to be tenants in their place. There's dozens of those. But if you want to look at the big picture, the majority of them are really slowing down, and things are starting to trend the opposite way, where they're having more and more vacancy, having a harder time filling those vacancies. It's taking longer to fill vacancies, and they're finding in order to fill some of those spaces, they have to take lower rent, and they have to have a lower quality of tenant renting that space than they are used to. Okay. And you're going to be seeing that more and more. So as you look at any kind of investing that you're going to be doing in 2019, if some of that investing involves ownership in shopping malls, involves ownership in maybe some strip centers, involves ownership in anything retail, make sure you do your homework. Again, you may be just fine. I mean, we've owned retail properties over the years that have actually done pretty darn good. But I think you see things trending now where that shopping mall is not what it used to be. I think we can all agree upon that. It's not. And I think it's going to become ever more the case, and you want to be gauging whatever you get, whatever you plan on in 2019, if it involves any kind of retail, to keep that in mind and know that that trend is going to continue to slowly become more and more of a slower place of economic activity, especially compared to what it used to be, okay? And so, I mean, that's pretty much it. Those are my kind of top five investment predictions for 2019 to be thinking about, to kind of have on the top of your mind, that has to do with what you're going to be seeing, number one, in the conventional markets, and how the stock market and NASDAQ and all those other markets, it's going to be, you better strap on, boys and girls, because it's going to be a roller coaster ride. You're going to be seeing demand from investors heating up in a big, big way in terms of demand to own and want to own and have apartment communities and profit from those, which is not news. We've been talking about that for years, but 2019 is going to be a big year for that, especially with them getting into more of the tertiary markets. You're going to be seeing, number three, more institutional investors and larger investors wanting to get into the financing business and take advantage of that. Number four, office buildings. Caution. Office buildings. That's all I'll say about that. And number five, another little caution, are shopping malls and retail. 2019 will be, I think, a tougher year for shopping malls and retail, especially compared to 2017 and 2018, okay? And so I hope these, top five predictions can be useful to you as you go through 2019 and as you think through your investment process and what you want to own and what you want to be involved in, where you want to be placing and parking some of your money. Be thinking about that. And if you have any comments, questions about anything that I've mentioned on this podcast about those five, get in touch with me, let me know. We'd be happy to communicate and have some dialogue with you about that. And again, here in the near future, we'll also talk about some of the more drilled down things you're going to be seeing in the first quarter of 2019. We'll be talking about that here in the near future. All right. Have a great day. Have a great rest of your week or weekend whenever you're listening. And we'll talk to you soon. All right. See you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining Darren Garman's Paranoid Banker Podcast. For investment questions, comments, or to get in touch with Darren, go to www.garmanblog.com. Thanks for joining Darren Garman's Paranoid Banker Podcast. For investment questions, comments, or to get in touch with Darren, go to www.garmanblog.com.